Hello, you're very welcome to the podcast series Driving Progress with Audi. I'm the host, Emma Dabaru, and in the upcoming episodes, I'll be speaking to Audi Ireland brand ambassadors to explore how they live their passions and beliefs and find out what has driven them to be successful and progressive in their chosen fields. We welcome you to experience Progress with Audi. For this episode, I'd like to welcome trailblazing jockey and performance ambassador for Audi NACE, Rachel Blackmore. What a year 2021 was for you.
It was incredible. It really was. It's hard to kind of sum it up.
Yeah. What would be a kind of standout moment if you could kind of pick one?
Yeah, so obviously winning the Aintree Grand National was just an incredible moment. You know, that feeling of elation when I crossed the line, it's just something I could have never have imagined. It just like rushes through you. It was just an incredible moment to win a race like that. That's got such history that, you know, it's just a fantastic race. And I think that was probably my standout moment.
And how has that win subsequently, you know, changed your life?
Yeah, look, it's with regards to racing, you know, that's an evolving wheel that just keeps rolling again. You know, there's talk of Cheltenham and Aintree again this year. So, but definitely on the outside world, you know, things have changed a little bit for sure. The odd time somebody might spot you in the supermarket or whatever. And, you know, those little things are different now.
You were named the BBC Sports Personality World Sports Star of the Year and were the first Irish person to claim that prestigious award. Oh, did they recognise that you were Irish, or did they say British jockey? Because everyone, when you do well over here, suddenly you're British.
No, they did recognise I was Irish. Yeah, that was okay. An incredible award to win, to be honest. Like, even when I saw the list of nominees come out, like, I was blown away. So yeah, it's just unbelievable.
So if I was to ask you, what defines you as a person?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's hard to talk about yourself, I suppose, and who you are when you're still living as that person, if you get me. You know, I'm not looking mm-hmm. back on my career now, and I'm not able to tell you things about me now because I'm still in that bubble. So like, I do think it's kind of hard to summarize yourself when you're, you know, you're still on that journey, you're still trying to progress and trying to, you know, I had a fantastic year in 2021, but I need this year to go well as well. And, you know, you're just kind of always striving towards that. You're not really reflecting too much, I don't think.
So it's about the progress and what you've got in your sights and what you're aiming towards going forwards.
Yeah, that's it. I do find in our sport, in racing, like it's just a constant, you know, things are constantly moving forward. Like, maybe that's the same with every sports person, but, you know, I definitely feel that in our world anyway. I saw on Twitter today, Cheltenham is 10 weeks away. You know what I mean? So like, before you know it, you blink and it's all happening all over again. So you need to be, you need mm-hmm. to be kind of on that train and moving with it.
How have you used or in what ways have your personal passions, you know, informed your career?
Yeah, so I suppose I'm passionate about what I do. Like, I'm very lucky in that my job is something I love doing, and that is something I'm very grateful for, I suppose, that I get to ride horses and I get to do this as my job, and it's a career for me. So I do feel very lucky in that sense. So I think they coincide, you know, my passion and work are go hand in hand.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Like, not that many people can say that. So that's amazing. Is it something that you always knew that you would do professionally?
No, not at all. I finished school and I was riding as an amateur at the time, along with going to college and so on. And, you know, this as a career was never something I thought would ever kind of materialize. But look, the way things happen for me, they have. And yeah, as I say, I just feel so lucky that I get to do this as my job. You know, there's, as you say, there's not that many people that can share a passion and a job as one.
And was it something that you kind of focused on? You were like, right, was there a moment when you were like, I'm going to do this professionally and that is an option? Was that like a moment, or what was the process?
Yeah, so I was riding as an amateur from the age of 19 to 25. So I'd finished school when I was 25 and was kind of at a, finished college, was kind of at a crossroads then where, you know, my riding as an amateur wasn't going to be a career for me. Like I wasn't getting on particularly well or anything. And yeah, the yard that I was riding out in at the time kind of said to me, you know, why don't you give turning professional a go and see, does that kind of change things for you? And like I was given that opportunity, and like without that, everything else wouldn't have happened. So I was very lucky to have someone who was going to back me to try turning professional, and seeing did that open a few doors. And I'm very lucky it did. Racing is a little bit different in that it's not always a natural progression, you know, without getting into too much racing detail, but you know, weight has a lot to do with it. The weight of a jockey, that's the reason a lot of jockeys don't turn professional, because their weight is kind of against them. But I was very lucky, my weight was good. So, you know, that was a big help.
Would you say that you have adapted your outlook to things as you've gotten older? And if so, has that influenced your career and your progression?
Yeah, so my age definitely, I think, has maybe helped me in some ways. I was very slow to get going as a jockey, so I had to be very, very patient. I learned a lot about losing races and about things not working out before I got success. And I think I got that a lot older than other people. And, you know, I think that was maybe a help with the success not kind of taking over things. And, you know, I didn't get too carried away with it, because I, you know, I had a lot of experience of things not going well before I got the success. So I think jockeys kind of progress at different stages. You know, some people will be very good very quickly and ride a lot of winners very early in their career. But for me, it took me a long time to kind of get better and improve. And yeah, so like I definitely was a bit older when I started to have the success.
And that helps you kind of be grounded, you think, and kind of like deal with the success in a way that is, yeah, I guess coming from a place of being grounded with it.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just that's life in general, I suppose. When you're a bit older, you have a bit more life experience behind you. And, you know, it's the same in every walk of life.
Drawing on what you were just saying, are there times when things can get quite intense? I'd imagine that there are. And would you do you see the value in not taking yourself too seriously?
Yeah, there definitely is times when things get intense. For sure. Like it's an extremely competitive world that we live in. And in the racing industry, things are very competitive. And, you know, there's a lot of people putting in a lot of effort into training these horses. There's owners paying big bills for them. There's people in the yard who are, you know, looking after them to an extremely high standard. And I'm given the reins then in a race, and it's kind of a, you know, I have to kind of try and finish the job. So, yeah, things are intense when they don't work out, I suppose. But, you know, that's kind of just part and parcel of racing.
And what techniques would you have for dealing like with that level of pressure? Because that sounds like quite intense, like that constant need to like maintain and even improve on your performance, which is already at like a phenomenally high level. So, yeah, how do you deal with the pressure?
Yeah, I don't know. You can ask me again there when I'm going into Cheltenham this year after Cheltenham last year. You know, there'll obviously be a lot of expectation there. But look, for me, and like everyone is different, but I just try to not get too wrapped up in it all. So, you know, there'll be a lot of hype before Cheltenham. There'll be a lot of hype before the Grand National this year. I try and just kind of pull those things away and just think of it as, you know, a normal race on a normal Thursday somewhere, and, you know, try not to get wrapped up in it all too much. Essentially, it's the same outcome, you know, you try and achieve when you ride in lesser races at home in Ireland during the week. You know, it's the same outcome you're trying to get.
Mm. What would you do on like your downtime to just like chill? Do you have any like practices that you have or anything like that?
Yeah, I'd love to tell you like I was good to meditate or good to do yoga or something, but like I'm terrible. I think I got an exemption in my Leaving Cert year for I didn't have to be there for the meditation class because I was ruining it for everyone else.
Wait, you had meditation in your leaving?
No, it was actually transition year, I'd say, sorry. Yeah, transition year probably.
Wow, that sounds so progressive though. It's very alternative.
Yeah, we definitely had some kind of a meditation class. It was probably meditation slash religion, but it wasn't really for me anyway. But
and can I ask you what progress means to you?
Yeah, progress is something that you need to keep doing, I suppose. You know, kind of similar to what I was saying earlier, I had a great year last year, but you need to kind of progress again to try and make that happen all over again. I think if in the same in any sport, you know, if you stay too stagnant for too long, there'll be someone else there. Like I'm very lucky. I get to ride a lot of very good horses, which then enables me to be in a position where I can ride winners in Cheltenham and Aintree and in Punchestown and Leopardstown and Grade One races. But you know, there's a lot of jockeys in the weigh room who'd be able to fulfill that task as well. So you're working on getting on these good horses, but then you have to try and stay on them and keep your spot in the saddle, as they say, kind of thing.
Would there be significant milestones of progress in your career, like over the course of it? And what would some of them be?
Yeah, so I started race riding when I was, I think I was 19 when I first had my first ride. It would have, the first ride I had, actually, I finished third, and like I was delighted. I was like, geez, this is great. Like I'm after getting into a place on my first ride. And I think I didn't get placed again the whole rest of that season. Like it was quite a realization of how difficult it is to win races. So I had my first winner then in Thurles. I was 21 at the time, and that was a big deal, you know, to get your first winner. You know, you're kind of, at least you can say that now that you've ridden a winner, and you know, people might be a bit more accepting of putting you up on their horse because you're able to say you've ridden a winner, and you know, that's a big help. And then I suppose from the age of kind of 21 to 25, you know, things were happening quite slow for me. You know, I was in college at the time, I was riding winners, but it was, you know, infrequently. And I was getting a lot of experience at the time, you know, I was still riding plenty, which is a big help because you're getting experience. But things didn't really kick off for me until I was 25 and I turned my license from amateur to professional. That just allowed me to ride a lot more and get a lot more practice, and things really kind of started to get going a bit then. I was champion conditional then in 2007, which is a title given to, we'll say, at the start of the season, if you've less than 60 winners, you're classed as a conditional rider. So I rode the most amount of winners of those conditional riders. And then once you progress, then you're just a normal professional rider. But that was another big milestone for me to have ridden the most amount of winners. It's usually kind of jockeys starting out who are in that category. But I was much older. I think I was 27 when I was champion conditional, which is definitely the record for the oldest person to be crowned that before. you know, that was another big milestone. And then obviously, you know, getting into a big yard like Henry de Bromhead has allowed my career to kind of progress on to the next stage again. And I had my first winner in Cheltenham in 2019 on Aplutar, and my first Grade One winner that week as well on Manila Indo. And yeah, look, things have thankfully stayed on an upward curve since. And I just really hope they can stay going that way.
But do you have an alternative passion in life if you had to do something else? But it could be like literally anything. Is there anything that feels of interest or like a secret passion that you have?
Well, when I was younger, my dream was to go to the Olympics for gymnastics. I was definitely born with minimal talent for that and also possibly in the wrong country. But yeah, really enjoyed watching, you know, the Olympics this year, watching Simone Biles. You know, things didn't work out for her as she would have liked this year. But yeah.
How important would you say attitude is and has been when taking on new challenges and adapting to new environments?
Yeah, look, your attitude, I suppose, you know, that comes across to owners and trainers in my world. And, you know, it's very important that they feel you're clued into what your job is and so on. You know, being a jockey is about having relationships with people as much as your ability to ride a horse. You know, I think your attitude in general is very important in what I do, but like, you know, in every facet of life.
Would you say that you're a naturally optimistic person?
I don't really know what kind of person I am. I'd be kind of
might be naturally pessimistic. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends on the situation, I suppose. But I'd be definitely, when it comes to racing, I'd be definitely trying to stay positive about everything. And do you know what I try and do is just try not to get too high or too low about anything. And that's kind of, you know, you try and achieve that as much as you can. So, you know, you might be optimistic about what might happen, but you're trying not to get too down then if it doesn't.
Do you think that that attitude and that desire to achieve balance that you just described is a necessary tool for progression?
For me, maybe it is. But like, you know, some people, everyone has a different way. I think that's quite an individual question. For me, I think it has helped me. It has helped me progress, you know, trying not to let yourself get too low about things or too high about things. But, you know, everyone has different ways and, you know, it's whatever works for you yourself, I think.
And what does, are you training every day? What does your kind of routine look like? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, so I ride out every morning. So that entails going into different yards and exercising the horses. So the horses have to get exercised every day. That's their training program. So I'm involved in making that happen, we'll say, and helping out in getting them fit, schooling them, which is teaching them about jumping and all those kind of facets. They all happen in the mornings. And then if there's racing, then I go racing in the evenings. So, you know, you might have racing 3 or 4 days a week. And then the other evenings, they're to do whatever you want to do. So I might go to the gym or I might, you know, catch up on other things in life.
Oh, wow. How exciting. Rachel, it's been a huge pleasure speaking with you today and I've learned so much. Continued success for the year ahead and many thanks for taking part in Driving Progress with Audi.
Thank you so much for having me.